Now, back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Looking at all this tailgating food, Tom, doesn't that look good?
Well, I mean, today is perfect for college football.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, there's hardly any wind. The sky is blue. The sun is maize. It's perfect for college football.
And congratulations to Kelsey Crawford.
I just
normally
got
we talk about Cody, but shout out to Kelsey.
Well, yeah, she was a freshman at Michigan State, and she got in line with her friend Hannah. They're in the front row there in the, what do they call that in the end zone, or the corner blitz.
Yeah.
She's there in the front row in the corner blitz, getting ready for Michigan State, Illinois football today and this wonderful homecoming day in East Lansing.
Now, has she met any football players yet? Is she any?
You know what? As one of her, she's in a breakout group, five of them. They have a project together. I'm forget what class. Kirk Cousins is in her group. Classy guy. Really nice guy.
Wow.
Really, really nice guy, she said. Kirk Cousins.
Could be a future son-in-law for you, Tom. You never know. All right, let's go out to our phones. Very happy to welcome in Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services, drjohnb.com. John, I know there are patient confidentiality issues here, but can you tell us anything at all about Tom's session on the couch Sunday morning after the loss to Michigan State?
Well, you know, Tom's a great guy, but obviously that was a tough game. And it was a tough game for a lot of Michigan people because we were at the game. And I also, one other thing I will say, I've never seen so many people in Ann Arbor for that game. Getting in and out was an absolute nightmare. But Tom is a great sport. He moves on to the next game. He's mad. He'll remember this game for 20 years. But a tough game, but you get perspective, you move on, and you wait till next year. How does that sound?
Well,
Tom,
yeah, and
be a good guy.
And I remember every game. I mean, as Fred Heumann learned, when Jack and I were over there at the studios, we got this really sick, almost embarrassing level of knowledge about these Michigan State games from five decades. And so I do remember every game with Michigan State.
Jack did something, I think, very good today. He talked about modern football. And if you look from 50 to the present, these records of Michigan and Michigan State are quite close because they each have their ebbs and flows.
How close are they?
34 to 25.
That's still a nine-game
advantage.
Yeah,
and Michigan's been better. No one's going to dispute that. But the fact that Michigan State has won 25 times against Michigan in that period of time, in 60 years, I would say most schools would be thrilled playing the team that has the most wins in college football.
And I think the rivalry aspect helps Michigan State because they're going to deliver their best punch to Michigan more than anybody else.
You know what Michigan State wants, Tom, to be perfectly honest with you?
Respect.
It wants respect. I mean, they can say they want to have superiority and it's great while it lasts, but you know what? They just want to be in the equation.
But they also, they're taking a brace. They did the banner. They rolled the banner off on the south end of the stadium.
Did you like that?
That indicated that little brother kicked, or big brother kicked, or little brother kicked big brother's, you know what.
Right.
So that was classy. But,
you know, I saw a lot of not very classy t-shirts, too, from Michigan fans.
I saw a lot of not too classy Michigan State t-shirts at Michigan.
Absolutely.
But you know what? I will say this, John. That compared to Ohio State fans, you guys are, a breath of fresh air in terms of, you know, at least you're not abrasive like the white trash that dominates Ann Arbor from Columbus Town.
Well, here's my feeling. Rivalries are great, and particularly when they're competitive. I think, you know, those are important things. I think there have been three in a row, but I think this makes us more into, for now, a competitive rivalry. And I know I'm older than you guys, but back late 50s, early 60s, Michigan State really had their way with Michigan. And since Bo came, it changed. And, when you had Perlish, you had, Saban, you were getting one every three, one every four. Then there was that bad six-game stretch. But now there's three in a row. So these things do kind of have an ebb and flow back and forth. So I think it's going to be exciting the next 4 or 5 years here in Michigan with Michigan State.
Yeah, John, you know, you pointed to something I thought was particularly relevant, too. When we talk about Rich Rodriguez's popularity, are we just talking about Ann Arbor and the Michigan community? Because if you throw in with the Michigan State fans and the Ohio State fans, he is very popular.
Well, you know, it sounds really horrible, But really, Rich Rod is not good for Michigan, and I'm just amazed that people don't see it from Michigan. I mean, you know, people can say Michigan State fans don't like Rich Rod for 100 reasons, but he just doesn't seem like a good fit to me. Now, I can be very wrong. He can end up winning, but I remember Michigan defense. The person you had on from Detroit was true. Michigan defense was just a scourge of the country for so many years. It's hard to believe
right. What's
happened to the defense, even forgetting the offense. You know, Lloyd Carr didn't always use his offense, but he had great offensive players.
Yeah, but keep in mind, that defense in 2007 was horrendous. They gave up a lot of yards. This is a Michigan defense in the year 2000 that gave up 54 points Northwestern. John, so it's not like this bad defense is something new.
But he won nine games. I mean, he got crushed by Oregon.
I understand. He's given up. I mean, it's worse now than ever, but it's not something new. And keep in mind also, Michigan football, their defense was predicated on the fact they would churn out 350 to 400 yards rushing with 14 to 16 play drives. That takes a lot of pressure off your defense, and that's why it's that added variable made their defense as good as it was.
Now, Tom, can maybe it's just me, but I remember in 2006, a guy named Crable kept Michigan from probably going to the national championship game. That 2007 game had Appalachian State, had Oregon, but they won nine games and beat Florida.
I'm talking about they gave up 35 points to Florida. I'm not talking about the fact that they couldn't win game. I mean, you got to understand something there. I mean, you well know as a big football follower and your knowledge of the game, they're a lot of talent. They had Chad Henne on that team
and
Mario Manningham, and there was Mike Hart. There was a lot of talent, and so they won, you know, in spite of their defense. Their defense was not that good in 2007. And you know, and Jack.
But going back to 2006,
well, you talk about the curse of Bo's death,
right? Exactly.
They served at 42 to Ohio State, and then USC had 32 on them, and it could have been 49.
Right, and you're exactly right. But before that, the rest of that season, the first 11 games of that season, wasn't Michigan's defense as good as anyone's?
Yeah.
Ron English was being hailed as
And Alan Branch and Lamar Woodley, you had some extraordinary athletes on that D-line and a four-man front that is obviously missing right now.
Well, why can't they use a four-man front? They don't have linebackers. We know that.
They run the 3-3-5. I like pressure on the quarterback. They don't do that. So, but you know, the defense, obviously, John, to your point, is just ridiculous. And then you know, because of that, they're going to struggle this year against the physical teams.
Well, Tom, I guess I'm going to, I won't take a poll, but I think most Michigan State people are glad you think this way. I mean, I just think from a reality point of view, this Michigan team of these last few years is like nothing I ever remember. I mean, the Lloyd Carr years, which I always feel odd defending, even though he won like 9-10 games a year, he may have had a bad defense, but boy, he won a lot of games. Maybe that's the difference. This guy's not winning a lot of games, and he may win some games this year. This will be a big game day today. I'm just looking forward to seeing what's going to happen. But again, I'm really more worried about that Illinois game coming in here. That's boy, if ever there was a trap game.
Yeah, right. But you know,
highly athletic, highly motivated team coming in here after three of the last 4 weeks, highly emotional games.
Right. Now, keep in mind, Lloyd Carr's team of 2005, they won seven games. Is that a lot of wins? Okay, there was the 8-4 teams that they had as well.
What did he average? About
I don't have
nine,
it in front of me right now.
But close to nine, right?
Yeah, you know, eight or nine, 8.5 to nine. Okay. Now is that acceptable?
Well, I think compared to now, but I still think a guy named Tressel changed the whole recruiting landscape.
Yeah.
And an edge guy comes in when Bo came in, it took him a few years, even though he won that first game, but he ended up taking over that series, really, with Woody. And I think with Tressel for now, he's kind of done that by keeping everybody in Ohio, and people may have looked at the wrong variable in terms of why Michigan was losing those games. But it's going to be interesting to watch. This is kind of theoretical, but I do feel the Michigan State people, maybe very wrongly, kind of celebrate that Lloyd Carr's gone, and Michigan people do too, but for different reasons, it looks like.
Think that expectations and frame of reference are everything when you evaluate a situation.
Absolutely.
And Tom, you're evaluating what happened in 2006 and 2007, and that looked like that things were starting to unravel a little bit. It was time for a change. I look at what happened back in the 60s and 70s and 80s, and I had so much respect for the University of Michigan's program that I lost a dinner bet over it, because I bet Dr. John B. that Michigan State would never beat Michigan three straight times in my lifetime. Now, John goes back even further, and the reason he won that bet is because his frame of reference is the 50s and 60s, and he said it'll come back, and I didn't believe him.
Well, you know, rarely do I love to be right with Jack, which doesn't happen a lot, I might add, on sports. But it makes it fun that you can have a bet, you can enjoy these things. And when you have horrible things happen in life, like we had in the Edie family, we've had Coastal, other persons, we still have to remember we grieve, we cry, but we have to move on, and we always have memories of wonderful people. And, hey, sports allow us to keep moving, keep going, keep doing things. And I will say one thing, Tom and I have talked this week in terms of, you know, this wonderful, the Edie family. These are strong Christians, strong, wonderful human beings. These are that family, Colstow. I mean, I don't know all these people. I know John Colstow in terms of being in my office building. Hello, goodbye, that type thing. But these are families. These are strong people. And when you have sports, you have things, you move forward. You don't forget the past, but it allows us in times when we're grieving to go forward, to do things, enjoy things, give us something to take our mind off things, and keep things in perspective. That's the key. But sports can have a wonderful effect on all of us all the time if we use it in the right way.
Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services, and DrJohnB.com. Hello, John. We want to tell you that we'll talk to you again on Tuesday, and thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure, friends.
All right. We'll be right back, and we are going to go over some of your responses to our Facebook question of the week. We'll be back with that and much more. The Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.